This is Victrios.
Genesis 22, and we read from verse 1. It's a long read, but it's a good read. The word of God by itself is blessed. Sometimes just listening to it without any commentary is good enough. Just hear the word. Hear the word. Listen to it. It has blessing in itself. So let's read the word together this morning. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, you need to understand that that's an old English. It's supposed to be test Abraham. God doesn't tempt people. The devil is the one that tempts. He's the author of temptation and the one that deals with temptation. God can test you. God can prove you, can try you, but not tempt you. Because temptation is meant for you to fall. Test is meant for you to stand. Amen to Jesus. All right. So, and God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Verse 2. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took off his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering. Verse 3. And rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I see every ingredient for sacrifice here. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Hear the father's statement. And this is how parents should talk. You should not say what you are saying alone. You should say what is possible by God. Amen to Jesus. You should not let your children understand the situation alone. They need to understand the scripture. Because some people will say something like, I am facing reality. And they say all kinds of things. Reality is the word of God. What the word of God says is realer than what the situation says. Look at the next verse. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I like to tell somebody here this morning, God himself. I like to say it again, God himself will provide for you. Some people have experienced God plus other things. Some people have experienced themselves and their bosses. But there is something as God himself. The breakthrough God is about to do in somebody's life, no man will be able to take the glory. God himself will prove himself. God will do a God-sized miracle for you. Your miracle will be greater than your location. Your miracle will be greater than your allocation. It will be God-sized in the name of Jesus. The Bible said God himself. So there is something about God doing stuff himself. There is nothing bad in trying to do stuff, but there is better thing in God himself showing up. And I pray for somebody again this morning, God himself will show up for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Let's move on. I'm taking it up to verse 14. It says, and God, and Abraham said, my son, God himself will provide. Oh, okay. No, I'm not yet in verse 14. We are moving slowly to verse 14. So go back to verse 8, I think. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Thank God for children that believe in God. Because if a father has told the child, God himself will provide himself a lamb, the son will be standing with the father. When the lamb shows up, two of us will tie him together. And not this one that you are now tying me. And am I now the lamb? I thought you said God will provide the lamb. Is Isaac now the lamb? But Isaac kept quiet. Isaac kept quiet. That says a lot about the family tradition of Abraham. Abraham had gotten Isaac used to the things of God. Parents, can I challenge you this morning? Don't make excuse because of the environment. Don't make excuse and say, this is America. There's nothing like, oh, this is America's thing. This, it doesn't hold here. It is what you want to hold in your house. You are the boss of your house. There is no law of the land that is superior to the law of God that you make happen in your house. Can somebody say amen to that? Let the law of the land be there, but this is my house. And as long as I'm the head of this house, I am the boss of this house. I'm the president, CEO of this house. And I dictate what will happen here. Here we will serve God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
In my house, every morning, maybe sometimes not Monday, Sunday morning, but every morning, we make a declaration, me and the kids. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. You do have an option. It's not a suggestion. You cannot decide whether you will serve him or not. Because you have come here, by right, I have decided for you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
Before they even came on the show, I had prayed to God. I said, God, if anybody will come to this house and won't serve you, don't send them here. They will be frustrated. Because they will serve you by force or by choice. Amen to Jesus. Let's keep on moving on in scripture. And verse 10, the Bible says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But thanks be to God. Look at the word of God. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Verse 12. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son. You have not kept your Isaac. Because you have not kept your Isaac, I will give you my Isaac. That was what God was saying. This was what gave Jesus. This was the seed that Abraham sowed that gave Jesus. Remember that Jesus is the seed of Abraham. Remember that Jesus came as the seed of Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile. It was this action that Abraham used as the seed for God to give his own Isaac. So when you give your Isaac to God, when you give God your best, God will give you his best. I see somebody experiencing God's Isaac in the name of Jesus. God is going to bless you beyond your wildest imagination in the name of Jesus. Let's finish that scripture and then move on. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him, a ram was caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of Isaac. And verse 14, the last verse this morning. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be said. I pray for somebody listening to me this morning. You will experience Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
You will experience Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
I say on this mountain, God will show you something.
Amen.
That will supply all your needs.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are several things you and I can know about life. And this morning, if you want to tie to what I'm talking about, call it prompted. Prompted. Still under the empowered living, but I'm talking about prompted. There are several things you and I can know about life. And one of them is that you need to know that life is a journey. Can somebody say journey?
Journey.
We are taking a journey. If you look at this scripture, the Bible said God told Abraham, I want you to do something, but you are going to take a journey. Life is a journey. We are in movement. Somebody has even said that the reason humans are called human beings is because we are in transition. We are moving. We are in a movement. And there are different things on the journey of life. There are ups. There are downs. But life essentially is a journey. Some are at the beginning, some are at the middle, some are nearing the end, but life is a journey. And if you understand that life is a journey, you will understand that the most important thing about the journey, as good as the destination is, as good as the vehicle is direction. In any journey, direction is very key. Because the fact that you are moving does not mean you will get there. If you are not moving in the right direction, you are not going to get there. Movement is not equal to progress. There are people moving this morning. There are people moving, and they are headed to a wrong direction. And that's why you need to understand that though life is a journey, your direction must be intact. You must be headed to the right direction. So in the journey of life, direction is very important. Direction is very important. It's not good enough to only know that, oh, well, life is a journey. Like one great man always says, marriage is a journey. I believe life also is a journey. But direction is very important in the journey of life. Another thing you and I need to understand, not only is life a journey, life is also a race. Life is a race. We are in the race of life. We are running a race. You know, even scriptures told us after he finished the Hall of Fame in Acts, in Hebrews chapter 11, by the time you get to Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible said we are encompassed with so much, a great cloud of witnesses. We are running a race. We are on the tracks. And when you came into this life, it was said to you, on your marks, get set, go. Your birthday was your goal. Your dead day is your end, at least in this life. So it's a race. It's a race. And you need to understand, in a race, whether it's a sprint, whether it's a marathon, all kinds of race, momentum is very key. It is not only good to start, it is good to keep on so that you can finish. So there are many people in a race. Some people will start. I later found out this morning that there was a race in Chicago. I hope some of you were not caught up in the race. You know, some streets were closed. Somebody is smiling there. Maybe they got caught up there. But it's not only good to start, it is good to continue. And I'm praying for somebody this morning. Anything that is making you, that is impeding your movement in the race of life, I declare that thing be taken away in the name of Jesus. So life is a race, and you need to understand that momentum is very important. So if life is a race, momentum is important. If life is a journey, direction is important. And also, another thing you and I need to understand about life is that life is in stages. Life is in phases. Life is in different levels. Life usually doesn't just happen once and for all. Look at how God told Abraham in that story that we read. The Bible said God told Abraham, I want you to do something. I want you to send you on an assignment. And what I'm going to do is that it's so and so place is a particular mountain that I will show you. So there is a stage that you will see it. And that's how life is. Life is like that. It's like a stage, or it's like taking steps on a stairs. Many times when you start out, where you are going to end up, you didn't even figure out. You didn't know that that's where you end up. Sometimes when God tells you do something, or when you are inspired, and when you are prompted, or when you think something is something you are supposed to do, many of the times you just have a clue. The thing keeps on unfolding with time. It keeps on unfolding with time. And if you understand that life is a stage, you will not despise beginning. You will not despise little things, because what is small today will be big tomorrow. What is not enough today will be more than enough tomorrow. Life is in stages. If you see somebody in a particular stage of their life, whether they are, maybe their life was supposed to have 5 stages and they are on stage 4, don't think that you are on stage 1, you won't get to that stage 4. Because the God that took them from stage 1 will take you to your own stage 4. Can I get amen to that? So don't let pressure come on you, because people get pressured and they think that the fact that so and so person, we are the same age, means that we should enjoy the same thing about the same age. No, life is in stages. And what makes you qualified for the next stage is not necessarily your age. It's not necessarily your age. And so in the story that we just read this morning about the story of Abraham, God told him, you are going to go somewhere. And this place you are going to go, it's like you're going to be taking steps. There are stages to it. At a particular stage, you will see the mountain where you are going to offer that child. And there was something that was very key to Abraham being able to make transition within the stages. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Another thing you need to understand, life is not only a journey. Life is not only a race. Life is not only in stages. Life is like taking a flight. Life is like flying. Like it's like flights. It's like taking a flight. Recently, aviation has gotten very negative, bad publicity because of some of the air crashes that the Boeing, is it 787 series that had now, you know. But life is, it's like taking a flight. It's like flying. And I pray for any of you traveling very soon or later, whenever your flights are safe, in the name of Jesus. But life is like taking a flight. Life is like taking a flight. I was hearing one commentary about this whole plane crashes that was happening. They said the same thing that happened to the two airplane that fell down or that crashed happened to another airplane, but it didn't crash because there was somebody on the plane that knew a little more thing about that plane than some of the pilots that were flying the plane. So life is like taking a flight, and because of that, instructions are very important. Look at your neighbor, tell them, say instructions. They are very important. On a flight, before even a pilot takes off, they have a flight plan. They have instructions that they have to follow, that the several things that they have to turn off and do all kinds of things before they... And even while they are in air, while they are trying to land, that's why there's a control tower. They need to constantly hear instruction, because that's how life is. That life is about, it's like taking a flight, and instructions are very important. In the story of Abraham, God gave him an instruction, or God prompted him and told him, I want you to go and sacrifice your son. That was the first instruction. God was not ambiguous about it. God did not say, I want you to go and sacrifice. God said, I want you to sacrifice your son. But listen, the way God moves is that sometimes he will give you an initial instruction, but you must be connected just like the pilot to him, so that during your flight, the subsequent instruction that will keep you on course, you should be able to receive it. Because in the story of Abraham that we read this morning, it was not because he understood that he needed an instruction from God to do something first. He needed to keep hearing instruction so that he would not assume that what he had yesterday is going to still be what is obtainable tomorrow. There are so many people, the instructions they are working in are outdated instructions because they thought they had an instruction and they are running with it, but there is an update to the instruction. Many of you have smartphones and you do update. Why do you do update? Because the instruction controlling the operating system or apps have changed. Something new has come up and they have added something to it. If you stay on the old instruction, after a while, your apps will not be operational. There are so many people that are staying on the old instruction and therefore their life is no more operational. They are flying with the last instruction, but there is an update to the instruction. God has not changed the destination, but it's just an update, and you need to align yourself to that update. This morning, I'm asking and I'm praying that in the name of Jesus, there will be alignment. I thought I will hear a better amen. If there was a time for us to stress the need for instruction, is now. Because for lack of instructions, many are heading towards destruction. for lack of instruction. There are so many people in life, the reason why where they are heading to is destruction is because they have not heeded to instruction. There's so much confusion in our world today just because we are not used to the right instructions. There is a lot of know how to do it in our world today. Everybody is now an expert. In the age of social media, everybody knows everything. Everybody knows how to preach. There are even social media doctors. Some of them have never attended a medical school. You know, sometimes when we watch some of these shows, Dr. OZ, Dr. This, Dr. That, they can say everything about everything. They know how you can lose weight. They don't, you know, I don't have a problem with some of these things, but sometimes knowing too many things or assuming you know everything is a recipe for destruction. So one of the challenges in our world today is because of lack of the right instructions. Instructions are very important in life. Instructions are very, very important in life. Like we saw in the story of Abraham, instructions will inform and instigate direction. When you have the right instruction, you will be moving in the right direction. There are so many marriages heading for the rock. There are so many relationships. There are so many careers heading for the rock because of lack of instruction. And my prayer this morning is that in the name of Jesus, there will be a cross correction. In the name of Jesus. Now the question is, what are instructions? What do I refer to as instruction? Simply admonitions. Admonitions, or a loving attempt to correct another's attitude or behavior. A loving attempt to correct one's attitude or behavior. Just like a plane, you need instructions to correct your course so that you will stay on course. You need instructions to correct attitudes and behavior. Because sometimes, after a while, you will be doing something that is off course. There are sometimes, after a while, a marriage seems to be off course. A child seems to be off course. Then there's need for the right instruction to bring them back on course. To bring them back in the right way. To bring them back to the straight and narrow way. So instructions are loving attempt. I know that word. It's loving attempt. Even if the instruction sounds harder, even if the instruction does not seem palatable to you, at the end of it is still a loving attempt to make corrections, to size you up, to get you in the right shape, to align you. And my prayer for you this morning, that your corrections will come in the name of Jesus. Now the question may be this. So if instructions are this important, because in the story of Abraham, the reason why Isaac did not die was not just because God is Jehovah Jireh. It was because Abraham was able to hear instructions and hear it per time. There are instructions per time. So Abraham was able to hear the instructions per time. So somebody may be asking the question this morning, Pastor E, where do I get instructions? Where are instructions? You know, I believe I need instructions for my life. I believe there are things that are out of whack. I believe there are things that are not the way they should be. And this morning, for you to experience empowered living, for your life to be beyond the ordinary, you must understand that it has to be prompted by instruction. And the first source or major source of instruction, I said something along this line last week, is the scriptures. The word of God itself, as raw, as clean, as direct as it is the major source of instruction. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and from verse 16 to 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17, the Bible says, is it coming up? All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. We talked a little bit about inspiration last week. And the use of it is for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is profitable. That means that when I'm reading the story of Abraham, if I sit down with it, I can use it in my career. There are so many people, when they come to things of God, they want to get very, when they come to church, they want to get very, quote unquote, practical. They want to hear something that will tingle their head. But you see, if you hear the word of God just as, if you read the word of God just as plain as it is applicable in several areas. Even the story of Abraham, I'm telling you, is applicable in your career. You can see something that can instruct you about career. For example, I can read the story of this Abraham this morning, and I can see that if there's a project, I need to understand what are the terms of the project. I need to understand that before I take action, I need to know the definition of the project. Because in the story of Abraham, I saw that God gave Abraham a project. The project was that we're going to have a sacrifice on Moriah. And Abraham knew the definition of the project. That is something that can help in your career. There are so many people, when they get to a job, when they have a new job or they have an existing job, they forget the definition of the project. And this scripture can be an instruction for you to remind you that in every job you can have, you should get the definition of the project. So every scripture or scriptures are useful for instruction. That is why we should not have a casual approach to scriptures. We should not have once a week approach to the word of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We should not have, I open it in during the service type of thing, a relationship with the word of God. Or I see it when my friend posts it on social media, relationship with the word of God. I have to have a personal, I have to have a consistent, I have to have a daily relationship with the word of God. I don't use the word of God as something I use when I'm in trouble. I don't use the word of God as something I use when things are not going right, when things are not working the way I want them to work. Whether things are working or things are not working, because all scripture is useful for instruction, I put myself to hear scriptures. I put myself to look at scripture daily. It may not be 10 hours a day. It may just be 5 minutes a day. This morning I got this report. I hope you get it too on your phone. That tells me how long I've been on my phone every day. So this week he said, you have used the phone 14% less. I was happy. Then I said, you use your phone, you were with your phone or using your phone for an average of 11 hours per day last week. I said, what? The whole time of my 168 hours last week, did I even read the Bible up to 11 hours? And in a day, I am on my phone 11 hours. And all phones are not profitable for instruction. Can somebody say amen? Oh, 11 hours. And I'm like, what? Do you know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is less than 11 hours? The whole of the New Testament is about 28 hours. Did you hear that? The whole of the New Testament. So why? Ask your neighbor, say, why have you not finished reading the New Testament? He says, there's no time. But are you kidding me? You have 168. That means if people want to even do it, you can read the whole. But because the New Testament and Old Testament is about 60 hours total. Total, everything, about 60 hours. Okay, maybe if you pause and, you know, some 80 hours. 80 hours, less than a week to read it. And even in 1 year, some people in a lifetime, they've not read the whole Bible. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16, all scriptures. So make time for scriptures. Make time to read the word of God. Make time. And technology has made this very good. It's very good. You can read the word of God when you are on the bus. People usually say they don't have time, but the same people have time to like, you know, you go and see how many things that you've liked in the last few hours since you woke up this morning now. Some people have liked at least 20 things on Instagram and Facebook combined. Huh? So the Bible wants us to understand that where we get instruction is the word of God. It's a major source of instruction. Another place where we get instruction is from parents. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Proverbs 22 and 6. Proverbs 22 and 6. Proverbs 22, 6. Is it coming up? He says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In other words, parents, you have the responsibility to instruct. Now, instructions are necessary before correction. Many of the times when it comes to parents, they correct, but they don't instruct. So we try to make the child do the right thing But we never tell the child the right thing when there was nothing happening. The best way to deal with a child is not just tell them when they are wrong. You have to tell them when they are not yet wrong or right. You have to instruct. You have to use what people that deal with children call teachable moments. When you are in a place, when something happens, when you get to a T-junction or something just happens, you can use that moment as a teachable moment for your children to instruct them. Because as a parent, God is banking on you to be a major source of instruction to your children. There are so many children today, the reason why they are who they are and why they are working the way they are working or doing life the way they are doing it, it's not because of the environment they find themselves, because some people like to blame every other thing but themselves. It is because of lack of instruction from parents. I like how the Bible talks about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and 19. Genesis 18 and 19. It says one of the reasons that Abraham will experience the blessing is because I know Abraham. He is going to make sure his children follow after me. He's not going to give the children a pass. He's going to take it as his responsibility to instruct them. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
And the responsibility for both parents. It's not just for the mothers. I know that with fathers sometimes we can be absent. Presently absent. You know what I'm talking about. You are in the house. They know that you are in the house, but they know you as Father Christmas. You are the one that buys them gifts. You are the nice guy, you know. Everything is just rosy and dandy with you. But when it comes to giving them instructions, you leave that to your mom. Whatever your mom says is okay. No, you too, you have to say something, sir. You too, you have to have an opinion. You have to take it as responsibility that I will teach these people. I will teach these children. Because when God gives them to you, he's banking on you to give them instruction. And if you are a child, you know, you have parents or people that represent parents in your life, you need to understand that they can give you instruction. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
No matter how old you are, they can still give you, tell you things, and it will be profitable to your life. So where do I get instruction? Number one, scriptures. Number two, parents. We can also get instructions from from mentors. Mentors. Somebody once said, he said, if you don't want to be given to tormentors, make sure you have mentors. You need mentors in life. You need mentors in different areas. When you have these mentors, you need to understand that they will say things that are instructions to you. They will say things that you need to listen to and obey. You need to listen to and correct yourself. Instructions are like when you look at yourself in a mirror. You don't change the mirror to fit you. You fit yourself. You change yourself to match up to the right image that will come out from the mirror. Because sometimes when people react with mentors, when they react with people, even scriptures, they want to conform the instructions they get from these sources. They want to conform it to themselves. They don't want to conform themselves to it. No, it's the other way around. You have to conform to that. So mentors are a major source of instructions. We have scriptures, we have parents, we have mentors. We also have this one that most people don't understand and don't use the most. We have peers. We have friends. We have people on our level. We have people that we do life with. Can I tell you, after a while, if you start growing up, not everybody that's supposed to give you instruction will be able to give you instruction the right way. For example, I'm a young boy, but I mean, my parents would not necessarily call me now and say, you know what, don't go to so and so. You know, I mean, they won't do that, you know, because I'm also a parent too, right? So at this level, even mentors, there are sometimes I will hang around mentors. They will just clap for you. They will say, oh, God is doing great things. God has done that. Oh, hi, praise God. Once in a while, they will chip in. They will tell you one or two things. But many times, it is friends that will tell me the truth. So one of my friends will come and say, Guy, stop that. He says, stop it. Because he's my friend. There's nothing. He's not afraid of anything. And please, you need those kind of people in your life. Those friends that will look at you and tell you, that's stupid. I know nobody told you that one, but that's very foolish. How could you have done that? Go and tell them sorry. And you are feeling like you need those kind of people in your life. No matter the stage of life you are, you need peers like that. Look at this Bible scripture. Colossians chapter 3 and 16. Colossians 3, 16. We need to admonish one another. We need to encourage one another. We need the one another kind of stuff. The Bible said this. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. So you need relationships that can come to you as one another. Not just relationship above you, not just people like your parents, your mentors, but people on your level. People that can have one another with you. And the Bible says that the way, one of the ways that the words of Christ, the teachings that you receive from Scripture can benefit you is to have the one another kind of stuff happening to you. You have relationships where you can talk to somebody or somebody can talk to you and they can straighten you up because they are your friend. They don't feel bad about it. So you need peers. You need one another. You need friends. You need friends that can tell you the truth. Don't cut them off because they tell you the truth. Don't only surround yourself with friends that clap for you. Surround yourself with friends that don't clap for you. Of course, don't also surround yourself because there are some other friends, they always get, looking for the right word. Somehow, when you have done something good, they are always trying to bring down everything good that you've done. You tell them, oh, look at what God did. They just downplay it. Those kind of people, if they keep doing it, they are dangerous too. Because there are some people, they just can't stand success. So you come to them, you tell them what God has done. They will now tell you, I remember too. God did this for somebody else like this. And they now make that somebody else's own bigger than your own. I know God did it for somebody else. But the one I'm celebrating with you now, please celebrate God with me. Can somebody say amen to that? Because some people, they are master of it. You come and tell them something good, something that you are wowed about. They just downplay it. Oh, is it that one? I've seen something better than that. And they tell you something, it's okay. The one that I have now is the better for me. Let's celebrate God with me. But there are friends that tell you the truth. They are not against you. They celebrate with you. But they come to you and tell you, hey, that one is not good. You're not looking very good. You don't smell good, you know? Some friends will tell you that, did you have your bath today? I think you can use a gum, you know, because something is coming out from that breath. You need friends like that, and don't fight them. Amen to Jesus. So we get instructions from scriptures, from parents, from mentors, from peers, and we also get from mentees, from people that follow us, from people that are supposedly lower than us. Parents, sometimes your children can tell you the truth. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I know that people that come from Africa think the other way. They think that once I'm a parent, I know everything. It's not true. Look at what Isaac did here. Isaac said, where is the lamb? And Isaac gave his father the opportunity to speak faith, to speak the word of God. Because the father, if you go to Hebrews, the Bible said, Abraham thought that God was going to raise Isaac up. Abraham was not thinking that Isaac would not die. It was the thing that Isaac told Abraham that made Abraham to respond and say, God will provide himself a lamb. And I believe that word, God will provide himself a lamb, started to create the lamb. Because that lamb seems it was created specially for that event. Because understand that Abraham was going on this journey. After 3 days, and they've been walking, they didn't see anybody. The Bible said, Abraham told the young men, you wait here. And then I and the lad will go and offer sacrifice. So there was nobody. It was a no man's land. So there is no way the ram will be on that mountain. It was God that set up that ram. And I believe the key word or the thing that activated that ram to be set up was that opportunity that happened when Isaac was speaking to Abraham and saying, excuse me, sir, where is the lamb? And then Abraham got opportunity to speak faith. So many times instructions will come to us from kids. It will come to us from people that are lower than us. You are a pastor, you can just get instruction from somebody that is supposed to be a member. You are a boss, you can get instruction or information or something that will be for good for you from somebody that is lower than you. You don't always have to know it all. You have to be humble to receive instruction. And let me end with this morning. What do you do with instructions? As good as instruction is, instructions are useless if they are not used, if you don't do something with it. What you do with instruction is you pay attention. You pay attention to instructions. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, my son, incline your ears to my attend to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. Incline means that adjust yourself so that you can hear. Incline means that position yourself in such a way that you can hear. Give yourself the opportunity to receive feedback. Give yourself the opportunity to receive instruction. And that's why I mentioned the issue about scripture. In fact, I believe you need to have a scripture plan. I believe you need to have a strategy to be able to receive systematically from the Word of God. I believe you cannot be a facade. I believe you cannot just decide and say, today I'll just put my thumb on the Bible and I will read whatever I want to read. No, I believe you should have a plan. I believe you should tell yourself that I'm going to read the Bible through this year, or I'm going to read the New Testament through this year, I'm going to read this book through this year. But you have to put yourself in a way that you'll be able to listen to it. And then when you start hearing that word of God, when you start reading that word of God, when you start getting that instruction from parents, from peers, from mentors, the Bible says, attend to that instruction. Pay attention to the instruction. Note it down. Note it down. Take notes. Take notes. When you come to church, one of the best ways to take notes when you come to church or when you be around people, bring out your phone, put it on your calendar, not just notes, on your calendar, put a reminder, this is when I will do this. Because you see, you need to put deadlines, you need to put reminder, you need to put dates to actions. If you don't put dates to it, you will never do it. So pay attention by having action, things that is more than just hearing it, having something that you are going to do with the instruction that you have listened to. So what do you do with instruction? You pay attention. And another thing you do with instruction, which is similar to paying attention, is you act on it. Without actions, instruction are just mere words, information that won't lead to transformation. Every information has the capacity and the potential to lead to transformation. But the thing that makes information lead to transformation is action. Is action. The word has to become flesh. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says the word became flesh and then he moved into the neighborhood. There was action. So if you hear instruction, if God tells you something, you hear something from the, you read something from the word of God, it is not good enough to hear it. It is the blessing comes in the doing. It is while acting on it that you will get the blessing. So actions are the things that make information transformational. Action, action. If you don't act on it, it will not become what will bless your life. Let's read this scripture and close with that this morning. Proverbs 13 and verse 18. The Bible says, poverty and shame will be to him that refuses instruction or that does not act on instruction. That person will become deficient. If you don't act to instructions, if you don't attend to instruction, that person will be deficient. And the Bible says, but he that regards reproof, or the person that takes action, will be honored. I'm praying that this week you will experience honor. I'm praying that this week your life will move forward positively in the name of Jesus. But you need to understand that just like Abraham, you need to hear instructions. You need to understand that just like Abraham, you need to hear instructions regularly. Regularly, because in the story that we just read this morning, it was not only that God told Abraham, go and sacrifice. Abraham kept hearing every step of the way, every stage of the journey, every phase of the journey. He kept hearing instruction. And it was because he was updated with the latest instruction that Isaac did not die. I am declaring concerning somebody, God's Isaac, you will experience it. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Because you will pay attention to the latest instruction. In the name of Jesus. This morning, I want you to bow down your heads and I want to talk to God.